Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat pod. The headline this week: Chelsea agree to sign Liam Delap, and have Chelsea won it all? You bettest they have. Come on, no laughter for that, Brady. Not even in the background. Today I'm joined by our good friend Brady.
How's it going, mate? Keen about transfers, but to mention Liam Delap, I know we're trying to get the scoop, but to mention Liam Delap before our first trophy in 4 years was a bit.
We just had the Romano. Here we go. An hour ago. It's breaking news.
I guess Chelsea winning the Conference League is old news. Yesterday's news, literally.
Exactly.
Buzzing. I was watching the first half. And you're 1-0 down, and you're almost thinking, "Oh, I just don't want to lose because it'd be embarrassing." If that makes sense, it wouldn't wreck the club if we lost the final last night to a good Betis team. But when we got going and scoring, you really got that. I don't know how to explain it. Getting the final, a big game juices flowing, and it was great, man. And then the celebrations afterwards. I mean, TNT had coverage for so long. There was so many commercial breaks where they're coming back for more coverage. It was great. So
yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed the celebrations, I've got to say. Like you said, it really sort of brought it back to you what it means to win a trophy. And just, even like you say, the Conference League is one of the worst trophies you can win, but it's a trophy that teams are competing for at the start of the season. And yeah, it's just fun to win. Winning stuff is very, very fun.
I have to say, just a side point, it's so nice to have actual Chelsea pundits like Joe Cole and Steve Sidwell, just rather than, it's a bit of a Northern Alliance in the Sky, let's be honest. It's Neville and Carragher, and you get the odd, they might get Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank on Sky, but on TNT, you've got Joe Cole, who's just jumping up and down. And the interview with Maresca afterwards was really good because it was quite personal, and I think Maresca felt like a safe space with Joe Cole and the others to kind of open up a bit more. So
I thought it was a great moment when he told Antonio he was too old to sign. Joe Cole, I think, covered every single minute of the whole campaign. He was on every show that TNT did to cover Chelsea in the conference. So and brilliant, and we all love Joe Cole. For sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about the game, give you some facts. Obviously, 1-0 down at half-time. I thought Betis, certainly in the first half, played pretty well. 66% possession for Chelsea to 34% for Betis. 13 shots for Betis and 11 for Chelsea. 3 on target for Betis and 7 on target for Chelsea. And 1.07 XG for Betis and 1.32 for Chelsea. Before we do likes and dislikes, just how did you feel the final went overall? How do you think we played?
It was the classic, I'm talking about the dislikes actually, but it was a classic game of two halves. Maresca spoke about how the team felt maybe a bit too happy after the Forest game, and that we had two days less than Betis rest. But they came out with full force. And Levi Colwill said after the game actually that they felt that the Betis were basically, they knew that they'd run out of puff. They kind of predicted how the game would go a bit. They'd come out all guns blazing. And maybe looking to control the first half and then just take it away from them in the second. And it was like that. As soon as we scored, I mean, I rarely say this, and Steve Sidwell said this as well. When it went 1-1, you just knew we were going to win. I mean, it's so easy to say that now, but there was a massive momentum shift.
No, for sure. I mean, you could tell Betis that their race was run a bit. I think if we could score that goal, even before we scored, you just felt if we could score, it was game over. There was very little chance that Betis were going to win.
But yeah, I mean, we could have been more than one down in the first half because, we'll talk about the attempts, but it was a Malo Gusto inverted right back disaster class. It was game of two halves. And yeah, Maresca's selection, there was definitely some selection. I mean, I would have played Reece James. I mean, not even saying in hindsight, I think you have to play the captain. I know that Simon Johnson said, I just listened to the Straight Out podcast that he thinks Reece James is fine, that he can play 2 games in 3 days now and 4 days. I agree.
He's given his medical. Everyone loves to throw in their medical 2 cents. The Athletic journalists are giving it out the info now as well.
I think Reece James could have played 200 minutes last night. I mean, it's a final. I mean, I think he was absolutely fine. He looked fine when he came on. Okay, he's only got 45 minutes, but he looks good now. He looks solid. He looks trim. He looks ready to go. So, there were some selection issues, and Maresca had to kind of reverse him out of a bad parking spot, I guess, like, you know, reverse himself out of a problem, but he got it done. So
I just want to say, obviously, on Reese, that the Maresca did say in his post match press, I don't know if you heard, that he would start Reese James every minute if he felt like it was good.
I think he did, but I think Reese is always, I mean, maybe, I think that, to be honest, they've got the club. I think if they didn't have the Club World Cup, I think he would have started this game.
I think
you know, monetarily, commercially, you've got to realise that competition is it's held in America and Latin America, I think. You know, big commercial drive. It's kind of like a hyped up version of the American preseason. There's £150 million up top if you win. If you win a competition, and I assume there's kind of lower categories of prize money as you go down, you probably get about $5-10 million for being in it. I don't know. I assume you do. But it's a big deal. So they need Reese fit. So yeah, it's kind of a weird new kind of climate in terms of managing players' minutes.
Yeah. Let's move on to likes and dislikes. We'll start with you first today for everything. Let's go with dislikes first. Let's start with the negatives.
It's dislikes. I mean, I've said it all season, and I don't like to be proved right or wrong or whatever, but you know, we can't be X half team forever. And by X half, I mean be first half team or a second half team. We fluctuated over the whole season. I think at the start we were playing really well in the first half, and then the second half dipping off. And since the turn of the year, it's just been the opposite. A lot of first halves have been really poor recently. We pointed to the Newcastle game where they weren't really at it. United at home. Yeah, you can say that Betis were really up for it, and that, you know, there was some, we were a bit tired, maybe emotionally drained after the Forest game, but it wasn't great the first half, was it? And you know, the XG is 0.12 in the first half, and 1.2. I mean, the XG literally times by 10 from half to half. So yeah, I mean, it's in the Champions League next year, you can't do that. In like, if you go to if you compare this to like an away game at a better team than Betis, you can't play that in the first half and hope to win up points. You can't. A lot of the times we've been kind of giving teams recently like a 0.5 or 1 XG head start, whether they score or not. Can't do that, really. In big games, in, you know, the top eight in the Premier League or in Europe. So yeah, I think I've made that point before, but yeah, I think you have to start games better.
Yeah, for sure. My dislike is the team selection overall, just in terms of not realizing, I don't think, the magnitude of the game and the situation. I think you can make an excuse if it had just been Gusto for James because of the medical stuff, but starting Badiashile in a final, I mean, that is just not for me at all. I'm not a massive fan of the cup goalkeeper situation, although I do get it as well, to an extent, but Badiashile, you know, it's just a misevaluation of the player. He's just nowhere near at any sort of level to start a final. And you know, there's no argument about Colwill not being able to play twice in 4 days, I don't think. So, yeah, I will criticise Maresca, I think, in terms of just that the game, like you said, wasn't massively important for the club. But I think for Maresca and the fans, it was. And I think he would have really created a bond with the fans, some of the fans that went out there, you know, the real hardcore, by the way, as well, that go out to these finals. It's really hard to get tickets for these finals. You know, we couldn't make it, so we didn't even try, but it, you know, it wasn't a big allocation you get for these finals. So it is really, you know, the top end of Chelsea support that go there. And you know, I said this when Potter went to City away in the FA Cup when we were, you know, doing horrendously in the league, and he started Bashir Humphreys at centre back that day. And I said, you know, he didn't get it, you know, to the connection with the fans and how important that is to, you know, you can't go to Man City away and start Bashir Humphreys when you're taking like a FA Cup allocation. Cause you know, if we stink up the joint, the fans are going to blame you. And in the same way, if we, you know, lost that final yesterday, that team selection would have been heavily criticised, and Maresca would have had to deal with that fan pressure all the way into, well, the Club World Cup, I guess we've got. But if that hadn't been there next season, you know, that he, you know, he can't manage a big game. And you know, I do feel like that was a bit of, I know you love to say everything when Maresca's inexperienced, but I do actually think that was actually inexperienced yesterday from Maresca.
maybe you're starting to see a little bit or realise, or not necessarily, but he's inexperienced. He will make mistakes. I think it was a very Pep Guardiola cup lineup, right? I think he does that. I mean, he plays for what it would be, you know, Ortega in goal. We might play Ake, even though he's not in good form. Or obviously, Ake is a good centre back, but because Ake played in every cup game or whatever. So yeah, it was very kind of Pepite, or whatever you want to call it, Diet Pep kind of lineup. And yeah, I didn't really like Badia Shield starting, and I would like to see Reece James start. But yeah, I mean, the one thing that, you know, he did get himself out of it to defend him a little bit. I can't believe I'm defending Maresca and you're criticising him. It's kind of we've gone a 180 here. He did get himself out of the hole. He wasn't stubborn. You know, talking about Pep, he often, I mean, a big gripe with City fans over the years, well, other than winning 4 titles in a row and whatnot.
Yeah, not many gripes, but...
Not many gripes, but a gripe is that he's very stubborn when it comes to substitutions. Like, he'll kind of just pick his team and he doesn't really like to make any substitutions, like, you know, before the hour or anything like that, or even before 80 minutes. So, Maresca kind of immediately saw that Malagust had to be taken out of the firing line. I can't remember the player's name who scored, which is bad, but he had him on toast, really, before he got injured and came off. So, yeah, some things
to learn. It's a good thing you don't remember, because I'm not sure you'd be able to pronounce it if you didn't remember.
You want to give it a go?
We'll call him Eza.
Eza Zouli, I think. Absolutely, from Morocco. Very good player. Did play very good. And a very good finish.
He was really good when he was limping around. Obviously, he was still 1-0 down at that point. I was like, thank goodness he's going off. He's a best player by a mile.
Yeah, very good finish for the goal. Took it well. And Isco was good in the first half as well.
Oh, yeah, Isco was good as well.
Won 5 Champions League, so this was kind of a small change for him this fifth final. But yeah, I mean, Maresca will continue to make mistakes because, you know, he's learning the job. Like, Champions League next year is his first campaign ever. He'll make a few weird subs and weird substitutions, and there'll probably be an away game in the Champions League where he makes a mistake, or maybe other managers that we've had before, like Tuchel or whoever, have not. So yeah.
Yep. Okay. Let's do our likes.
I mean, there's so many likes for this game. I mean, the Jackson Senegalese attire. I mean, I love that hat. That hat was amazing.
Wow.
I mean,
all of them, you've gone for Jackson Senegalese attire.
I mean. Well, I mean, it's amazing. You know, I think he went and got the Senegalese
flag. Yeah, no, it was good. Yeah, it was good.
He
I think that was impromptu as well. I don't think that was...
yeah, he jumped in the crowd. He was really excited. I'm not sure if it was family or there was somebody, a fan from Senegal there, but he jumped in the crowd and got a Senegalese flag. And then I suppose grabbed the hat. Even Kukurea tried it on. But in a more serious note, I guess, it was just good that we kind of blew a team away. It's been a little while since we did that. We did it again. We scored 4 goals recently against Joe Gordon, however you pronounce it, and Southampton. But we haven't really scored 4 goals against in an important game for a long time. You know, there's been a lot of 1-0, you know, 2-1, digging it out. So, yeah, it was good to kind of...
Well, 4 goals from 1.3 XG, you know, it's nice to actually score... Some good goals, you know.
Yeah, 4 goals in 25 minutes. I've been begging for that team to do that because they have that in the... You know, obviously, we'll talk about Cole Palmer's performance. He kind of was the gaslight to kind of, you know, get the performance started. But I want to see that from this team more a little bit. You know, Maresca is about control. But you still see the City teams, you know, pumping, you know, City leads 6-0, 7-0. So, yeah, I think... What were your likes?
So, mine is leaders. Because we sat here on this podcast 2 years ago and we said Chelsea don't have any leaders. And in fact, you were heavily critical of Reece James being selected as captain. And just overall, you and we all sat here actually really and said that the squad didn't have any leaders at all. But I would actually dispute that now. I think that leaders have emerged. I think some of these players have really grown up. I would say Reece James has really come on as a captain. I thought he was absolutely brilliant yesterday, even not when he wasn't on the pitch. You know, he was still sort of leading pre-match and things like that. Kukurea, Caicedo, Enzo. Yeah. You know, these are players that are all stepping up to be leaders in our squad.
I agree. I mean, Reece James literally came on and gathered them all around. I think for like an impromptu huddle, just said, come around, I want to talk to you. And even like, I mean, we've got to talk about Tosin as well, because, you know, there's been a lot of noise. But maybe Tosin is even more influential than we saw. And we were speaking earlier about the Cole Palmer and Tosin press conference. Tosin literally was like adjusting the mic for Palmer because he could see he wasn't speaking into it. Literally like a big brother. Like, you know, we see Cole Palmer is this like really big, you know, not ego, but big personality. Just a young kid, probably a young, shy kid from Manchester, really good at football. Tosin's from the way I've got a bit of a Manchester core because obviously a lot of them played at Man City, Lavia. We've got Delap coming in, Tosin, I'm forgetting one, and Palmer.
Lavia.
Lavia as well. But we've got that little core. And, you know, we've got a French core on the team. There's a lot of French players as well because I think that they can be.
A few of those will be off this summer. We're getting rid of the French.
Yeah, you've got some of the Spanish, Argentinian, Portuguese ones, obviously culturally fairly similar. But yeah, I mean, it's good. Definitely, Reece James is. I wouldn't say he's proven me wrong because I said that comment. What was it 2 years ago when he's made captain? I mean, it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
But he has definitely grown into it, and yeah, I mean, Cole will as well. Cole will's a massive leader. So yeah, I think you're right. I think they're just growing up. You know, the team has gone from 21, 22 year olds to more like 23, 24, 25, and you know, you just will naturally just bulk out a bit more. What's that, like emotionally and just, I wouldn't say ego, but you know, you've been around the block a bit. And Reece James as well. He's the only player left from the Champions League winning team. He's been there and done it. He says, this is what we do. You know, apparently Maresca said that Reece James said, don't worry, I'll come on and we'll win the game now. Don't worry about it.
I think when he came on, he said, don't worry, we'll win it.
Yeah, or something like that. So, yeah, he's the last one surviving. Was Chalobah in that team? I don't think he was. I think he came the season after. So, yeah, he's literally the only surviving member of that Champions League team, which is crazy, really. But, yeah, when you've got big game experience like that and, you know, big personalities and been there and done it, it makes all the difference.
Absolutely, for sure, yeah. Right, let's talk about the players because we've talked about the game at length and let's do temps.
Time to see whose form's on top, who's heating up, whose temperature's dropped, who's been playing well and who's not. It's freezing, warming up, boiling hot.
Right, Brady first. Tough freezer, but I think, you know, a couple of options.
Not a tough one for me. I'm going to do this while Chris is here. It's Pedro Neto.
He
gets 7.3 in FootMob. I don't understand why. I don't see anything. Like, I agree.
He doesn't give the ball away, which is kind of like a
false rating in a way. Like, in terms of like actual output, he's a very tidy. I call him a very tidy winger. And I was actually listening to our pod from last week today on my lunch break at work, and you said Nonny really flatters to deceive. I think Neto's a bit like that. I think there's a lot of hustle and bustle, a lot of, you know, he's strong, he's athletic, he's good looking, he kind of, I don't know, he's got that a good presence about him. You know, he's engaging with the fans. I don't know if he's all. I mean,
he's passionate for sure. You know, as well, which the fans like.
I don't know if the actual. You know, you've said he can be in a league winning team. I think he can be in a league winning squad. I don't know about the team, and I think he's a good player. And like I said, I'm not trashing the player. I'm not saying he's poor or anything like that. But for me, 6-7, maybe 7.5 out of 10. And you know, we've already bought a player on one day, so there's clearly going to be a lot of acquisition. We've got Estevao William coming in.
Who do you think is a better finisher out of Neto and Madueke?
Madueke, definitely.
Really.
By the way, I'm left-footed. I mean, I'm not talking about football. I mean, I'm literally 0.0.01% of professional footballers. But I'm left-footed. And that Fulham goal, when it sits up for a left foot and you put your foot through it, it's not an easy finish, but it's not as hard as it looks because you literally just bang it, right? It's a much harder goal to dig it out your feet, maybe even a one-on-one chance. So many times. I mean, Neto last night.
What's the really good goals Madueke has scored?
I wouldn't say Madueke just seems a little bit better in front of goal for me. I mean, you're kind of comparing average and slightly below average. I'm not really saying you're not really giving me a. It's not like one's good and one's bad. I'll just say I think Nonny's has got a bit more of an edge to him. With Pedro, I wouldn't say he's a one trick pony, but he's got that inverted cross, which will be really good when we get someone who can head the ball, to be fair to him. He will get more assists from his crossing when we have a tall, dominant striker. Even though I don't think Delap's actually good in the air, ironically. But maybe Ekitike coming in, maybe he's good in the air. I haven't really watched enough of him at Frankfurt. or whoever comes in. And he will definitely get more assists. But in terms of a goal for it, I just don't see it. He's got 4 goals this season. And, you know, we were all bashing Malueke's 7 goals, all right, and he got 3 game week 2. But Neto's been... He can't escape criticism. It's not like Neto is good and the rest are bad, which has kind of been the vibe of this podcast for the last 6 months. I'm not really having it, to be honest. Neto's in there. They're all not that good. And you look at Sancho last night. Sancho scored a great goal. You know, maybe thinking, oh, maybe he should stay. But then you keep him and then maybe go 8 games on the trot about having a shot or doing anything. So I think it's a big season for Neto next year because, you know, obviously we've got, like I said, Willian coming in. And a big one for me, I'm going to talk about this player later, but Cole Palmer on the right showed all of them how to be a winger and how to be an aggressive winger from the right. Showed all of them. He went back to the right flank, started controlling things, and he showed them all up. And that just shows there's levels to the game. And I'm unfortunately to say, I keep banging on about it, I don't think our wingers are up to much at the moment.
Sure. Let's talk about my freezer, who was the worst player on the pitch, in my opinion, by quite a significant distance, and that was Malo Gusto. He had one of the biggest nightmares.
So I thought I'd leave you Gusto.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think you think that Neto played worse than Gusto. I mean, Gusto had one of the worst halves.
Oh no, I don't think that. But I just left you Gusto because it was dangerously low hanging fruit. You trip over it.
Yeah, the worst half I've seen a player have for a long, long time. I'm struggling to think of a player who's had a worse half than that for us this season. I mean, he was absolutely shocking. Not just on the ball. And obviously, he looks incredibly uncomfortable in inverting, but off the ball as well. He got beaten down the wing so many times. You know, I don't know.
He was in his head a lot. He was clearly mentally, you know, affected by the mistake the whole half.
Yeah, look, when we signed him, he was 19 and he had a really promising first season in, second season under Posh with that chaos ball last year, really, where you can get up and down and he's got a lot of stamina and pace and he can whip a good cross in from wide. In this system, I don't know, I think his days are numbered. If we're going to keep Maresca, I just don't see a role for Gusto, and I like his personality, and I think Maresca really likes him as a player as well, and as a person. I think you can see that they get on, but you know, I just don't think he's a technical enough player to play in our system, and especially inverting. And I don't think he's ever going to get there. And I think this final was a good sort of big stage moment, enough where Maresca would probably think, I won't play him in a big game again for a while. It was that big a moment, I think.
He'd be a squad player for Maresca, and probably if he moved on. I mean, we were talking about him, we won't be now because Frimpong's gone to Liverpool, but maybe not necessarily be a Trent replacement, but maybe be a good pickup for Liverpool because he would probably suit their system a little bit more. And I think, although I think Trent was inverting a little bit last season, but yeah, he just kind of... He gets into that kind of pocket where he inverts. And he just looks very uncomfortable. He looks very uncomfortable in the sixth position. He looks, it's almost like a barometer. The closer he is to the touchline, the better player he is. And the further away he gets from it, the worse he is. And he's like a pure right back playing in a system where it's a little bit, you can conflate it a little bit to like the goalkeepers who, they're a really good goalkeeper. Like you said, like Rob Sanchez would. I'm going off base here a little bit, but Rob Sanchez is a really good goalkeeper like 25, 30 years ago, right? But he's not good at his feet. It's a little bit the same with some of these like fullbacks. Like, I mean, Kieran Tierney, Ben Chilwell, they're like pure thoroughbred wingbacks and they're kind of being, they're dying out at the top level because of the system change. So, I mean, yeah, you fear for Gusto a little bit under Maresca, really, in terms of prolonged minutes, really. I don't think he'll be sold, though. I think he'll be... Because Maresca said he likes him afterwards, and he could tell he was, like, almost felt a bit sorry for him because maybe the system has hurt him. But, yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Okay, let's do warming up.
Warming up for me, actually, this is actually a really controversial one. I actually thought Ben Mabadishu had a good game. I thought he did some...
this is a controversial...
But he actually did pretty well if you watch the game. 96% accurate passes, 3 out of 4 accurate long balls, 3 out of 3 ground duels won, 5 recoveries. He did pretty well. He did put three passes into the final third in a really poor half where the defence was floundering. I thought Trev was a bit dodgy first half as well on that right side where they were getting done by our friend Ezra, we'll call him. On the left-hand side, it was going pretty well. And actually, Levi Caldwell said he felt a bit sorry that he came on Badia Shield. Apparently, Badia Shield was fuming when he came off. He was like throwing his wristbands off and all sorts. He felt a bit sorry for Badia Shield because Badia Shield played the hard part of the game, basically. We're better at it. And Levi came in and basically came on where, you know, their race was run. So I think he did pretty well. And if it's easy to watch a player when we've got a kind of negative perception of him saying, like, you know, Badia Shield, or, you know, he shouldn't have been playing. I thought he did pretty well. I think that's why he's so upset. I think he was having a good game. So fair play to him. I thought he was all right. I mean, there are plenty of other warming ups, but, and, you know, and boiling hots, but I thought I'd give him a little shout out.
Yeah, I'm going to give mine to Caicedo, who obviously scored the goal, and he's not going to be one of our two boiling hots, I don't think. So I want to give him just another shout out. I mean, we don't need to talk about Caicedo again, really, but I mean, just click on his name and look at the matches that he's played, and just look at his rating on any rating sites. You've got to scroll a long, long way down to find the orange rating. He's green or blue all the way through, yeah.
Service in this game, really. I mean, we're just used to excellence now.
Yeah, I don't want to be like that with him because he's very special. I don't want to just sort of diminish that he's just going to be excellent every game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I know the finish was deflected, but it was such a nice moment that he actually got a big goal because Spurs away last season, he scored a screamer and it got disallowed for a tight offside. I think Jackson was offside. Same again at Spurs at home this year. We scored that back volley or half volley or wherever it was. I mean, it was a deflected goal, but it was such a nice moment for him to get a goal. And he scored the last day of the season, the last game of the season, just like he did against, I think, Bournemouth last year. So, yeah, I mean, Caicedo's perma-boiling hot until his form drops off. I mean, yeah, I know he's warming up, but he's boiling hot for me.
Yeah. Okay, let's do boiling hot.
You want to talk about Palmer first? I mean, the thing with Palmer in this game is that he said in that presser afterwards, it was so revealing. And Chelsea had to do a bit of media management afterwards, where he said basically, I didn't want to pass backwards and sideways anymore. Which obviously, it wouldn't take a genius to make me think it was a slip of a tongue, and he was talking about a system, and maybe within that, or he might have been talking about his own ability. I think Chelsea spun it as he was talking about his own performance in the game. But he just got the ball and he went, you know, F it. I'm gonna be me and I'm just gonna do what I do. And he's best like that. He's best when he's just marauding around in that right channel. I mean, a cross for Fernandes. I mean, I spoke about the wingers. I mean, that cross is unbelievable. Just perfectly weighted into like a not the biggest player in the world. You've got to get it over the defender into Fernandes. And yeah, I mean, and the assist for the second goal where he just does the left back. I mean. Yeah, I mean, like Joe Cole said, it was scandalous. And he was the man of the match and he didn't score a goal. It says it all. And yeah, we need that energy back. He's a maverick and he needs to be allowed to play like a maverick within Resco's system because that's how you get the best out of him.
Yeah, I mean, I think the moments of class from Palmer yesterday, the moments of quality were just absolutely exceptional and sort of special. And that's what big players and do in those sort of finals. I know after the match he said, I love playing in finals. The last time he played in any sort of European final was the Super Cup, and he was man of the match for City that day as well. I just think, you know, the expectancy for him is almost to win us the game every game. And I don't think he's just not that type of player. Where like a Hazard, where he can just dribble past everyone and win the game almost on his own. He's more of a special player, but in that sort of De Bruyne way of special. You need the team around him as well for him to look something really special. And obviously he's nowhere near De Bruyne's level right now, but that sort of style of player. And I think, you know, the opportunity for him to have shots from outside the box and things like that and get more space in and around the box will come as we get a better striker as well. Because thinking back to the last sort of 6 months, he's not had too many opportunities to strike a good ball from outside the box. And that's partly to do with how teams set up against us as well. But and obviously the attention that he gets as he's become, you know, a bigger name. But yeah, look, phenomenal performance in a final. I think got the Man of the Match award from the UEFA delegates that were at the game. He wasn't my personal man of the match.
I think it's still in the press room in Poland. He left it.
Yeah. He wasn't my personal man of the match, but I thought he had a great game, and obviously the special moments were very special.
Yeah.
My boiling hot is my man of the match. I thought Enzo Fernandez was absolutely brilliant second half. After a little bit of a shaky first half, I thought not only did he perform well, but he led the team really well as well. Him and Reece sort of really drove the team forward. And if you look at that energy that he shows when Caicedo scores the goal in the 91st minute of the game, he's the one bursting forward from midfield. And I think when he first signed, he was a little bit tubby, maybe a little bit out of shape to what he is now. He's looking in supreme condition right now. He gets up and down. He's an absolute engine workhorse in that midfield, which is a really underrated attribute for him. And he's not, because maybe he's not the fastest player, but his stamina is outstanding. And yeah, for him to be sort of sprinting forward in that 91st minute, that really got Caicedo the goal, because that creates the overload. And he obviously got the assist for Caicedo's goal. Also, underrated, his header is absolutely exceptional, I think. Like, Palmer's cross is world class, but he's still got a bit to do with that header. And he does everything right, heads it down into the ground so it can skid off the surface. Yeah,
it was funny. There was a little mini second where the ball came in, and he kind of came onto his head, and the commentator was like, it wasn't like a clean sort of. He just kind of got it, and then the goalkeeper nearly got it. It was just kind of a weird flick on. I think everyone expected him to kind of mess it up or not get there, and he just got there. If that makes sense. And what I mean by that is, a year ago he didn't get there because Maresca's told him, you got to get in the box. I remember that goal against Leicester. That you probably won't remember this, but he scored a tackle.
No, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, like I was like, whoa, he is so advanced. I never saw Enzo that far advanced ever, really, under Poch, you know. Very rarely just break into the box, you know, almost like Lampard style. So, and that's where we've made some jokes where, like, if I take my glasses off, you can't tell the difference between him and Lampard. But I'm only joking because of the number 8. But, yeah, I mean, he's improved a lot. There are some games he's ineffective where those kind of basketball games, and they've, you know, a little bit. That's probably why in the first half he got lost, because it was more of a basketball tennis match, or whatever you want to call it, and he gets lost in that. And that's where he struggled in the Poch system. But in a more refined system where he has protection and he plays more advanced, he is good. And yeah, I mean, very good player. And you have to say, a very good season for him. I mean, we were all, I mean, in the summer, you've got to remember he had that scandal with the Argentina team. We're all thinking, you know, maybe you sell him, or, you know, what's going to be in store for him with Chelsea career.
Well, I think a lot of people have given up on him, actually.
You included, I think, everyone. I think a lot of us had, me, you and Chris, I think we'd all had doubts, because Lavia are coming and you're thinking, well, Lavia, Caicedo, that can be the pivot, and you can just, and then Santos is still at the club and he hasn't gone on loan yet. So, yeah, but he's kind of, I wouldn't say proved everyone wrong. It hasn't been that kind of season. He's done very well, though, and he's had a, you know, 8, 9 out of 10 seasons, so fair play to him.
Yeah, I think he's given us all something to be, you know, excited for, because obviously, you know, you forget that he as well is still only 24 years old.
It'd be a really, really good asset. Sorry to interrupt. It'd be a really, really good asset in the Champions League. That slower tempo of game, that can sometimes, if you're playing Italian teams or Spanish teams, but the tempo is slightly slower, he will be a great asset then. Because, you know, a little bit maybe like a Tonali who had to adjust to the league a little bit, and now he's cooking. I think he'll be really good in that kind of, you know, those kind of higher stake games, but then almost a little bit like probably why he's so good at international football, because the pace is a bit slower, and so that suits him a little bit.
Yeah, and just sort of a macro sense, if I told you at the end of last season when Enzo was looking really, you know, like you said, we were very down on him, that he was going to play 36 games next season and get 13 goal involvements,
yeah,
you wouldn't have, you'd have struggled to believe me, to be honest. I think, yeah, you know, it's really good. All right, let's talk about the transfer market and the squad additions. We've obviously got 2 weeks until the Club World Cup, or just over maybe 2.5 weeks, something like that, until the Club World Cup starts. And Chelsea have made a signing already, according to Fabrizio Romano. We'll count the here we go as a signing, basically. But Liam Delap is going to sign for Chelsea. Thoughts on that?
I'm sure you'll be digging out some of my takes on Liam Delap from the earlier school.
Not yet.
You know what I like about Liam Delap? There's a goal against Bournemouth where he absolutely whacks it. I don't know if you've seen this goal.
Yeah,
he just absolutely no placement. He just absolutely wallops it in. I love that. I like the kind of socks down, kind of making a nuisance of yourself striker. I think it's not something we've had. We've called him like the baby Costa. I mean, we were hoping that Broye would be a bit like this because Broye is not similar, but he can get himself about and he's quite aggressive. But yeah, it's a good signing. It's an interesting one that they've gone with Delap first because it makes you think. Are they going to stop there at striker? Because if they go again, you assume it's probably going to be a higher profile one, you would assume. What does that mean for Nick Jackson? What does that mean for Delap and whoever the ex-striker's coming in his minutes? So it is interesting they've gone. I mean, we were speaking earlier that maybe Delap and Jackson isn't enough if you want to push on. And there's reports from Florian, is it Pettenberg? Is that him, the German one?
Pettenberg, yeah.
Yeah, Pettenberg, that... you know, Ekotike is still pushing. I mean, he's a German journalist, so sometimes they kind of push stories. Not there, but they'll push the narrative a bit more. Maybe even if he isn't quite there. But yeah, I mean, they're clearly not messing around, are they? And they want to get as much done before that. I think is it June 10th or June 8th June 10th when it ends. So yeah, they're here to do business and. We've always been good at that.
Yeah, Plettenberg reported that Delap transfer does not affect a potential move for Hugo Ekotike. Chelsea is still pushing for Ekotike as of today. So, yeah, I mean, it would be fantastic to add two strikers. I know a lot of people feel like, Jackson's days at Chelsea may be a numbered. I know you don't agree with that, but I do think, you know, he doesn't strike me as the sort of personality that would be happy as sort of a third string striker, sort of getting cut minutes in the League Cup.
I've always said he could play on the left as well. Maybe there is like a slight tactical tweak that can happen. You know, Maresca might surprise us where he plays not necessarily two strikers, but he kind of has like an inverted striker on the left or something a little bit different maybe in some games. We don't know. I mean, that wouldn't be anywhere near his style at the moment, but maybe that's what they're thinking. Maybe they see Jackson as like an auxiliary striker, a second striker. And you've got two up top, you never know. So, yeah, I have to wait and see. I mean, Maresca might, you know, there's always surprises. I would be surprised with Jackson's age, his profile, how highly they speak of him, the manager speaks of him. You know, there's so many times a season when he's gone Jackson, we're much worse about Jackson. So, to go from that to kind of him being leaving this summer would be a bit of a turnaround, but you never know at Chelsea.
Yeah, look, 12 goals for Liam Delap last season in the Premier League. He would have been our second top goal scorer at Cole Palmer, and he got 15 in the league this season. So he's only 3 goals behind Cole Palmer. And he's playing for obviously probably the worst team in the Premier League or second worst team in the Premier League, probably. And he's outscored, you know, all of our, you know, wingers, attackers, whatever you would say. I think that creates a really nice floor, I think. And I've got to say, I'm very impressed with that as well. You know, to get that many goals in the Premier League for a side as poor as Ipswich sort of gives you the idea that, look, he's already outscored Nicholas Jackson playing for Ipswich. So it does give you a lot of hope that maybe he can get a few more goals for Chelsea. And look, the other part of it is we know our SDs, they love a good bit of business. And Liam Delap for 30 million is, whatever way you look at it, that's just great business. You know,
he had the same amount of non-penalty goals as Jackson last year in very similar minutes. So,
yeah.
I think they would both be backup strikers, though, wouldn't they, to someone you'd hope more high profile going in with Liam Delap and Nick Jackson next year?
I would be disappointed with that if that ends up happening.
Absolutely gargantuan, and they get Williams and they get. You know, a huge centre back, a massive profile, and I don't know, maybe
who's that? Yeah, there's not really any massive profile centre backs available, but yeah, Nico Williams is obviously the highest profile player that I think that we are pushing for. It seems like, which would be great. I think if we add him and Ekotike up top, and then like even just a Gay or whatever to raise the floor. I know Braithwaite's been mentioned as well, Hatto from Ajax. You know, you could quite easily see. This team, just with a few signings, become quite a strong-looking squad for next season. And, you know, obviously something to get quite excited about. You know, the keys being getting those signings over the line. But I do have a lot of confidence that these owners are very ambitious. And they've already pulled 30 million out of their pockets already this summer. We've only just finished the season yesterday. So they're looking to make some moves for sure. And yeah, like I said, Liam Delap, 30 million. He's worth 50 million the day you sign him, probably. So, you know, it's just good business, whichever way you look at it, because of the release clause. So, yeah, really excited to head into the next season. We've already got a player to compete, at least with Jackson, up at the top end of the pitch. And, yeah, 5+1-year deal. So he'll be here for the long haul, and excited about Liam Delap.
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
Right. That's all we've got time for today. We will do some transfer updates during the off season, and we'll also talk about the Club World Cup, obviously, as that starts up, and we might even do a little preview for that, because that'll be 2 weeks without, you know, any football, and we'll be absolutely gagging for it by the time that rolls around. Thanks very much, Brady.
No problem.
As always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be, and thanks for listening.
I hope you're carefree wherever you may be. Thanks for listening.